the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Let's go stateside. Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown are with us. Cal and Marion, I don't think I have ever been added to a WhatsApp group or a Signal group or a Telegram group or any type of messaging platform that gave me access to the fence secrets. But that is what happened to The Atlantic magazine editor Jeffrey Goldberg, who was added to a group that included Vice President J.D. Vance, the Defence Secretary, Pete Hegseth, all of the top players in the Oval Office and White House were part of this as the US government were plotting to attack the Houthi rebels in Yemen. And Jeffrey Goldberg found himself added to this. Marion, this is an astonishing leak of the most classified secrets you could imagine.
Well, you know, it's not even so much a leak because he was invited in. This is the problem. It wasn't just some mysterious person leaking stuff out. They invited in. Now, we've got to say, putting this in context, Jeffrey Goldberg is an excellent journalist. He has impeccable contacts. We all should have his contacts within national security, defense, and the Pentagon. Trump absolutely despises him, which adds an element of farce to this, because it was Jeffrey Goldberg who reported about Trump calling soldiers who'd been killed, American soldiers being killed, suckers and losers. And he got that from impeccable Pentagon sources. We think John Kelly was probably one of them. So for him to be included, just as I said, adds, but this is outrageous. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Armando Iannucci, who did Death of Stalin and In the Loop, who does this kind of these high farce satires about the incompetence at the top levels of US military power and governmental power. But Jeffrey Goldberg said he was sitting in a supermarket car park watching all this play out. He initially thought it was a trap for him. He thought that Trump was trying to get him to say yes and to join something and then report on it to make him and The Atlantic look stupid, which would require a certain degree of skill and cunning that they don't have. But what happened is, as we know, that these plans to launch strikes on the Houthis in Yemen were all being uploaded. They were being chatted about. But also, you know, this is military policy and foreign policy being done via emoji, you know, with people like Mike Waltz, the National Security Advisor, who, by the way, is the guy who invited him in, you know, a fist punch and the American flag and then a big explosion symbol. So that it's all being done via emoji, but also laws have been broken here because this information was clearly classified. And also this group was set up apparently so that this chat would disappear within 1 to 4 weeks, which is in clear violation of laws that require any of these things to be preserved for the national records and by the National Archives. So it's not just that it was cavalier, it was reckless, it could have put American soldiers in dangers. These strikes were manned airplanes. They were manned by military people. It wasn't drones. So if that information had, I mean, who knows who else they've shared this with or who else they shared other stuff with. It's insane. But also we saw the contempt for Europe, the absolute visceral hatred and contempt for Europe expressed by J.D. Vance, who also said that Trump didn't clearly understand what was going on. I think Trump's going to love that one.
Cal, and, before I bring Cal and Marion, I just want to let people listen to some of the things that Jeffrey Goldberg had seen in this Signal chat room, because we do want to get onto the serious elements with Cal there. As you mentioned, the foreign policy views of J.D. Vance, amongst others. But let's have a listen to that magazine editor of The Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg.
The specific time of a future attack, specific targets, including human targets, meant to be killed in that attack, weapons systems, Even weather reports, or, you know, that the government is I don't know why Hegseth was sharing it with everybody. I mean, and then a long section on sequencing. This is going to happen. Then that is going to happen. After that happens, this happens. Then that happens. And then we go and find out if it worked. I mean, you know, he can say that it wasn't a war plan, but it was a minute by minute accounting of what was about to happen. The Houthis are not going to know about this for another couple of hours.
And you know about it.
Well, and I know about it, and I'm thinking to myself, I mean, honestly, I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm glad that Mike Waltz didn't invite a Houthi into the group or a Russian spy or an adversary of the United States.
Cal Thomas, the more serious element of this is that America is discussing policy via a chat group, and people who feared the worst of the appointments of people like Pete Hegseth, Mike Waltz, that were incredible people up for the job, are being proven correct.
Ian, you may remember the sappy old movie with Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neal, which had that sappy line, love means never having to say you're sorry. Well, the same apparently applies to government officials in Washington. The best way they could have approached this would have been to say before the Senate committee hearing this morning, which just concluded its first session, look, we screwed up. We were wrong. We've only been in office a couple of months. We absolutely will investigate this and promise it will never happen again. That's the way you get rid of it. But to sit there and defend Tulsi Gabbard especially, and I was never a fan of hers to be nominated for Director of National Intelligence, she wouldn't tell the committee whether the phone she used was to get this information was her personal phone or a government phone. She refused to answer. She was made to look like a fool. And so were some of the other members, especially John Ratcliffe, who kept saying he didn't know when asked by the senator from Georgia about these various things. He couldn't say. He didn't know. He didn't remember. I mean, this is just outrageous, frankly. Now, the president says that he still has full confidence in these people, but that's what you usually say before you get fired. So we'll see how this plays out in a few more days.
Cal, you have, as I said, and Marion pointed out, you have the military planning being discussed in that group, and also foreign policy. J.D. Vance talking about European defence being pathetic, freeloading once again. This is quite the disturbing, you know, it is disturbing to say that you have people who have these views and are quite happily to put them down.
Well, first of all, you know, vice presidents are supposed to give their honest and private recommendations and opinions to the president in private. This is what Joe Biden did when he was vice president. Barack Obama, he was opposed to going after Osama bin Laden, but he did it in secret and rightly so, to express his opinion. This got out. J.D. Vance was against going this bombing campaign against the Houthis. Fortunately, no Americans were killed. But I think that you know, to do this kind of thing on this supposedly encrypted business, and Marion's right, the Atlantic reporter did not asked to join this. They had these initials for everybody. They didn't spell out their names, but it was very easy to figure out who they were. And why nobody checked on who's this guy, JG? Is he a member of the administration? Does anybody know? Nobody asked that question. And so we have the result.
Marion, will there be anybody paying the ultimate price for this with the job going? Or is this just another episode of, well, welcome to the Trump world?
I don't think there seems to be, as Cal said, there seems to be no remorse. And, you know, Cal, I can go one better. Tulsi Gabbard was TG on the group. She was asked, she wouldn't even tell the committee this morning if she was the TG person on the group. Like, suddenly she cares about secrecy. Suddenly she's concerned about privacy. You know, it's and they were rightly eviscerated by Mark Kelly and John Ossoff. But all they did was try and basically throw Pete Hegseth on the bus and go, well, we weren't the ones who were putting up the classified information anyway. It wasn't classified, which is ridiculous. So I don't know. I don't think, you know, I mean, the only reason Trump seems to fire people is if they somehow get more spotlight than he is or get more attention than he does in a positive way. But there's nothing good about this. He's already said Mike Waltz is a good man who learned his lesson. They just don't take these things seriously. I mean, you know, he's all serious at the moment about the flights to El Salvador. He won't give any information about that because apparently that's top secret. But military plans to involving a strike with risk to American military is apparently a free-for-all. It's beyond disturbing and beyond shocking, but this is where we're at.
Cal, I wonder if we got access to some of the other phone chats between all of these very senior people with the top national security clearances, when we might find their plans for Greenland, because again, there is a high-profile delegation going off to Greenland. Is it actually serious now that we have to take the claims that the US and Donald Trump wants Greenland as something that may be coming?
Well, this came out of the blue. I mean, I was gobsmacked when I first heard this, to employ a wonderful Irish term. They're even threatening, there's even been threats of force to take over Greenland. All of a sudden, are we Russia and Greenland Ukraine? What in the world is that about? I mean, if you're going to have any kind of relationship, whether formal or informal, with another country, there ought to be respect for fellow democracies and discussions and trying to make your case why it would be beneficial to Greenland and the people of Greenland if they had a close association, maybe not another a state, but maybe something like Puerto Rico or a commonwealth. But just to go in there and to pretend, hey, we're America, we can do anything we want, we're just going to take over, I think is antithetical to what America stood for.
So what's the point of it? So it is, it's J.D. Vance's wife, the second lady, Usha Vance. Yeah. It is Mike Waltz, who may or may not be in the job, given what's happened with that leak, and the Energy Secretary, Chris Wright. Look, a state visit should always be welcomed, Marion, but I think we actually have to start paying more attention to this story.
Yeah, well, a state visit, you should be invited, is the basic. You know, you don't turn up in somebody's house if you're not invited. And, you know, it's ironic that Mike Waltz says he's going off to watch a dog sled race. Well, that's about his level, isn't it? You know, but this is very serious. And I agree with Cal. And is this part of the Trump, you know, the softening on Ukraine, where he's almost blaming Ukraine for being invaded? Is this, you know, the softening of the ground? Because there are only 56,000 people or thereabouts in Greenland. You know, the indigenous populations. Denmark is involved in the government. And really, if America wanted to take over Greenland, there's very little, probably, you know, as a matter of fact, that Greenland could do to prevent it. And it would put, obviously, there would be all kinds of complications with Denmark, which is also a member of NATO and God knows what else. But this is the situation we're in, and it is serious. And it seems that Trump is very keen on the mineral wealth in Greenland and also its place as a strategic, point where the military base is. I think we have to watch this space very carefully, and I would share Cal's concerns.
Cal, can we move on to the Democratic Party? Because they have been largely absent for the last number of months. I don't think anybody could say that they are providing an opposition in the United States right now. Mm. And would replacing the Democratic leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, with somebody else be the catalyst that will finally bring out some opposition to what Donald Trump is doing?
No, I don't think so, because the Democrats can't figure out what their policy is other than to be against Trump for everything. There have been a number of commentators, more middle of the road, people like the Clinton pollster, Mark Penn, and James Carville, who have said in various ways that the Democrats ought to pick a few things that a huge majority of Americans believe in and agree to help bring it about. Border security, for one thing, that was the number one issue in the campaign that helped propel Trump back into the White House. There are a number of things that Democrats could agree on, but they are so imprisoned by their hard radical left. A new NBC News poll just out, and who can't believe NBC News, has found that just over a quarter of registered voters, 27%, say they have positive views of the Democrat Party, which is the party's lowest positive rating in NBC polling going back to 1990. And just 7%, say those views are very positive. So the Democrats have a problem that goes beyond Chuck Schumer and some of the others who appear on television.
Gavin Newsom, Marion, fancies himself potentially as a player for the presidency in 2028. And he is, of course, rolling back on some things he said previously on a podcast. He's even getting backlash from his own base for that.
You know, the thing about Gavin Newsom is that, you know, he looks like if you were to have a B-movie of a president on some channel, whatever, Hallmark channel, he'd be picked for it. He'd be picked for the B-movie version because he's tall, he's good-looking, he's slick, he's articulate. But Gavin Newsom's ambition always gets the better of himself. Now, I think that he has been, in some respects, a very good governor for California. In the first Trump administration, he was very effective in taking on Trump legally and challenging him. But this podcast he's doing, where he's obviously made a calculation that he has to reach beyond, you know, the Democrats if he wants to. He has to win the primary first. But I have no problem with him interviewing Steve Bannon or Charlie Kirk, the head of Turning Point USA. I think it's good to have conversations with people across the aisle, no matter how far across that aisle they are. But the problem I have with Gavin Newsom doing this is the utter cynicism and the fact that he did not challenge Steve Bannon or Charlie Kirk on anything, on any of their most extreme, ugly, bigoted views. Steve Bannon is the mascot for the Proud Boys. He is a far-right extremist who reveled in the violence on January 6th. Charlie Kirk has said that transgender people are less than human. So, you know, if Gavin Newsom wants to agree with Charlie Kirk that he doesn't want to see transgender people in sports, transgender women in college sports, he's entitled to that position. But don't just nod along with Charlie Kirk and say, why did you and without asking, why do you feel it necessary to dehumanize these people? Why do you feel it necessary to dehumanize the trans community and call them appalling names? So for me to hear him yucking it up with these two people was just despicable. Talk to them by all means, but challenge them. That's what you do when you speak to somebody whose opinions you do not agree with.
Cal, final word to you. Do you rate George Clooney as an actor?
I like George Clooney. I've never met him, but I've liked some of his work. I especially like the
President
movie
Trump
Up in the
doesn't
Air.
Like him. Second-rate B-movie star.
Well, you know, I wouldn't exactly say that Trump was an A-list movie star on The Apprentice, but I one of my favorite Clooney movies was called Up in the Air, where these companies would hire him to go and fire people because they were too chicken to show up and fire them to their face. But I think he's a good actor. He's certainly a handsome man, and I don't bear him any goodwill, and I really like his wife, Amal, because she's even prettier than he is.
Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.